Amen. I appreciate that special. It's good to have a reminder of how important it is to pray. I want to invite you to open your Bibles this morning to the book of Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. I've got good news and bad news today. I think I usually do. The good news is we're going to talk about something that's incredibly needful for families today. We're going to talk about forgiveness. Everybody's excited about that? Try that one more time. This is the good part. This is the good news. We're going to talk about forgiveness. Because we need to be forgiven, and we need to forgive others. And it's desperately needed in our families. We want to take these biblical principles and apply them directly. Biblical basics for a blessed home. We've talked about the importance of the Bible. And then we've talked about how we've got to have that foundation, the Word of God, build our families around the Word of God. If you're not having family devotions, I plead with you to do that. To be faithful Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, to be here and have your family here, to study the Bible on your own. All of those things are desperately needed. Listen to preaching all the time. Your phone will read the scriptures to you while you're driving. I mean, we just need to fill our lives with the Word of God. We've talked about the importance of faith, hope, and love, and how we desperately need those things in the home. And today, we're going to talk about forgiveness. That's the good news. We're going to talk about something that's very needful. The bad news is the battery is out on the clock that hangs on the wall. Yeah, Brother Roger's got his watch, and he'll watch it. So, and don't worry, if he starts pumping his arm up and down, I'll know he's just cheering me on. I know he's not. If you could find your place in Ephesians chapter 4, let's stand together to honor the reading of God's Word. We're going to start at the end, work our way back, and come back to it. So find verse 32 if you're able. Ephesians 4 and verse 32. My kids have learned a lot of Bible verses, and so have yours if your kids go to Calvary. And this is one of the first verses our kids learned. You thought it was John 3:16. That was probably one of the first ones, but this was one of another one of the very early verses that our children learned, and it's a great one. I'd like for you to read it out loud with me as we look at the Word of God this morning, all right? Ready, begin. And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your Word. I pray that every man, woman, boy, and girl in the room today, or that will ever hear this message, that they would be forgiven. Lord, that they would repent of their sin and unbelief and trust in the finished work of Christ alone to save them, to give them life everlasting, to give them forgiveness for their sins and freedom from sin, and to give them freedom from hell and the grave. I pray for everyone here to be forgiven. And Lord, as you have forgiven us, God, give us the grace and the power of your Spirit that we need to forgive others, even as you have forgiven us. Please help me now, forgive me, and bless your Word today, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Please be seated. There were two little boys that had had a quarrel. They'd had a fight one day, and you know how that goes when boys fight. And the next morning, Bobby got up, and he told his mom, he grabbed his bat and his glove, and he said, I'm going to Johnny's house. And his older brother started teasing him. He said, what? I thought you and Johnny weren't friends anymore. I thought you said you would never hang out with him anymore again. And he put his head down for a minute, and he kind of stood there, and he goes, Me and Johnny are pretty good forgetters. And he headed out the door. Me and Johnny are good forgetters. You know, it takes a lot of forgetting sometimes to forgive. And if you can forget, it's a little easier. Now, we're not God. God removes our sin as far as the east is from the west. And there are hurts that are going to stick with you the rest of your life. But we can still forgive, even if we don't have the capacity to completely forget. We've got to have forgiveness in our lives. If you're a Christian, then that means that you've been born again. You're striving to follow Christ as your Savior. He's not just some fire escape, but He is, in fact, the Lord of your life. You're striving to live for Him. You cannot do that unless you're willing to forgive others. Amen. You can't do it. The Lord has a lot to say about it. He taught us to pray, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. In the same way that we forgive our debtors is how the Lord is going to forgive us. For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Amen. To get to a place where we can really forgive others is not an overnight ordeal. Amen. I want you to notice that in this passage of Scripture in Ephesians chapter 4, the very last challenge that he gives in this passage of Scripture is then to be kind and tenderhearted, forgiving one another. But there's a lot of growth that happens before that. As a matter of fact, if you just back up to verse 20, in the verses before this, he gives us a comparison. He says, especially all the things that have come down to this point, especially from verse 17 and on, but he gives this comparison. He says, don't walk like the Gentiles walk in the lust of their mind. Don't walk in darkness like you used to be. And he says in verse 20, but ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation or lifestyle, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And that you put on the new man, which after God has created in righteousness and true holiness. So he says, listen, if you're going to stop walking like the Gentiles, you've got to put off the old man. You've got to put on the new man. Don't live like the world. There's got to be some spiritual growth, some spiritual maturity that's got to happen in your life. And he gives some details. He says in verse 25, put away lying. Speak every man truth with his neighbor. For we are members one of another. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Is it possible to be angry without sinning? Maybe, but we need to be careful if we get angry that we don't sin. Amen. Does anyone else struggle with being angry? I'll give you a second to be honest. God bless you. There's a lot of real honesty in some of you. Really putting it out there. I want you to know that we struggle with anger, and it's important that we're careful that we don't sin. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. I've had older people early in my marriage tell me, make sure that you don't go to bed angry with your spouse. And that's great advice. Don't go to bed angry. He says, don't even let the sun go down. So that's even better advice because it's from the Bible. But listen, don't even let the day end. Don't let the sun go down. So in summertime, you can stay angry longer. Right? In wintertime, you got to get over it quicker, right? No, the point is, don't stay angry. Get over it. Be quick to forgive. Be quick to forgive. See, but just as a side note, when you take scriptures literally, sometimes you miss the point. You miss the truth. So we've got to be angry, but sin not. Verse 27, neither give place to the devil. Don't give him even an inch. Don't crack the door. Don't let him have a foot in the door. Give no place to the devil. Make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. We've got to guard our influences. We've got to guard our hearts, guard our minds. By the way, most of us give place to the devil every day. And the main primary place that we give place to the devil is on a screen. Oh, am I meddling? Good. On your phone screen, on your tablet screen, on your TV screen, on your computer screen, you give place to the devil. You welcome him into your home, into your heart, into your mind. And God says, don't do that. Amen. Don't give him a place in your life. Don't give him a place. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands that thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Hey, how many of you have ever stolen anything? I'm raising my hand, be honest, right? Now listen, if you get saved, you need to stop stealing things. Not complicated, but there's a putting off and putting on. You used to steal, don't steal anymore, but rather use that effort to work, to do good, so that you'll have an abundance, so that you can be in a position to give to others. That's great, isn't it? That's wonderful. Listen, don't have a desire to get rich, to be rich, to have for yourself, to fulfill, consume it on your lust, but have a desire to have an abundance so that you have a position to give. Right? Amen. What do you think about the parable of the Good Samaritan?
Listen, God had blessed him. He had an abundance to help others. If he didn't work and have, then he would never have been able to provide for the man who was left on the side of the road for dead. But he had the ability to help him. He had the ability to pay the bill at the end. He had the ability to have the ointment. He had the ability to say, give him whatever he needs, and when I get back, I'll pay for the rest of it. Amen. What a blessing. Amen. What a blessing. And so God is saying there needs to be a change. Here's verse 29. This might hit home. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. God wants to change your heart, and when he changes your heart, he changes your mouth, because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Amen. Have you ever said something you shouldn't say? Yeah. And you say, well, I didn't really mean that. And maybe, hopefully that's true, but a lot of times that comes from something inside. Maybe you really didn't mean what you said, but you had some animosity, you had some anger, you had some unforgiveness or bitterness in your heart, and so you said something. Now, corrupt communication takes in a whole lot of stuff. That takes in cussing, takes in blasphemy, takes in lying. It takes in just saying unkind things. Because Mama always said, if you don't have anything nice to say, don't say anything at all. Good. Some of you were taught well. It's good. I used to say that a lot until I taught teenagers, and then I modified it for teens, and now it's, if you don't have anything nice to say, shut up. And I know some of you don't appreciate that because that sounds mean, but sometimes you have to learn to speak people's language, meet them where they're at. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace to the hearers. Listen, what we want, what we say affects other people. And you may say something in jest, you may be just joking, but it may hurt somebody deeply. And so we need to be careful what we say. Be careful. And grieve not, verse 30, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. When we are walking in the Spirit, we please the Lord. The Spirit is in unity with us. We're doing the right things. But when we go against the leading of the Spirit of God, it grieves His Spirit. Amen. It grieves His Spirit. We say things we shouldn't say, do things we shouldn't do. He convicts us to do something and we don't do it. It grieves Him. He convicts us not to do something and we do it anyway. It grieves Him. And so we've got to be careful not to grieve the Spirit. Look at verse 31. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. All bitterness, wrath, anger, all of these things, clamor and evil speaking, they all come together, and he just sums it up with all malice, all evil intent. He says, put it away. Put it away. Put it away. And then verse 32, our main point of our text, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another. Now, I wanted to go back through that to show you this. There is a process of growth. There's a process of putting off the old man and putting on the new man. And it's going to take some growth and maturity to come to a place where you can forgive others as you've been forgiven. You see that? What I'm trying to tell you is you don't get saved today and then tomorrow you've forgiven everybody who's ever done you wrong and you never think about it and it never bothers you. It doesn't happen that way, friends. Salvation is the miracle of a moment, but sanctification is a process of a lifetime, and it's going to take work. It's going to take prayer. It's going to take study. It's going to take growing. And a guy that just got saved yesterday is not going to be to a place of maturity where he could just let it all go. It doesn't work that way. But listen to me. It ought to be happening in your life that you are learning to forgive, and you're learning to forgive, and you're learning to forgive, because you are always rejoicing in the truth that you have been forgiven. Amen. Just a quick poll. How many of you have ever had someone hurt you and it was hard to forgive them? Buddy? Right? That's almost everybody in here. Now, here's the reality. In the room this morning, at all the people that just held up their hand, and maybe they're thinking about one particular instance, or maybe they're thinking about just a lifetime of wrongs that have been done against them. Everybody's in a different place. And I would imagine if we took the time to get the testimony of each one of these, that some of you would think, man, nobody's had it as bad as me. But then you would listen to somebody else and you go, okay, I've never had it that bad. And we just don't understand what others have been through. We don't understand the hurts that they've had. But I want you to know this, that every sin that's ever been committed on this planet, yes, maybe it's been committed against other people, but ultimately, all sin is against God. Amen. David said, against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight. How could he say that? I mean, he sinned against Bathsheba, he sinned against Uriah, he sinned against the whole nation. But he said, against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in his sight, because he understood that ultimately all sin was against God, because God's the one that's holy. Amen. God's the one that's just. God's the one that's truth. God's the one that's right. I want you to please turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 18 and verse 21. Matthew chapter 18 and verse 21. Be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Now, as you're finding your place in Matthew 18 and verse 21, I just want to ask you, those of you that raised your hand and said somebody has hurt you and it was hard to forgive them, how many of those, was it someone in your family, someone you were related to? Okay. Isn't that amazing? It's not the people that are out there that hurt us the most. It's the people that we're closest to that hurt us the most. And it's so much more vital. It's always vital to forgive, but especially to forgive those in our own family. And you may be thinking about your mom or your dad, your grandma, your grandpa, your brother, your sister, your aunt, your uncle, your cousin. I have no idea how far this goes, but I'm telling you today that God has forgiven you if you're born again. And that's why we need to forgive others. And Jesus gives us this great teaching, Matthew 18, verse 21. Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times? Man, Peter was super spiritual, wasn't he? I mean, listen, we're Americans. This is baseball country, right? How many strikes do people get? Right? I mean, that's the way we live. It's even in our laws. We have a 3-strike rule in Oklahoma. We've applied it to our laws. We apply it to our life. We even say things like, if you fool me once, shame on you. If you fool me twice, shame on me, right? We get to a place where if you do me wrong, I can deal with it once, maybe even twice, but 3 times, I'm done. And that's the way we live. 3 strikes, you're out. So Peter, super hyper-spiritual Peter, said, Lord, I'm going to throw the number of perfection out there. What if my brother offends me? He sins against me. He trespasses against me. Not once, but twice, but 3 times, all the way to 7 times. Lord, do I forgive him that many times? 7 times? Sounds pretty good to me. How many of you count? Yeah, you know how many times somebody's done you wrong. Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee until 7 times, but until 70 times 7. Now, some of you are doing the math in your head right now. Good job. I wonder if he had to use his calculator to do that. 490 times. Now, some of you are still being really literal. Like, I can be mad until the sun goes down. But Jesus wasn't asking you to literally count 490 times. And I know some of you keep record like that. Somebody be honest. I know some of you keep record like that. But God is not asking you to keep a record. And you can forgive them. You have to forgive them 490 times. But that 491st time, it's okay. Now you don't have to forgive them anymore. That's not the point. So what does he mean? Look at verse 23. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a certain king, which would take account of his servants. We have a king that's going to take account of his servants. Right? And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him, which owed him 10,000. 1,000 talents. But for as much as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and his children and all that he had, and payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debt. You guys just stop right there and say amen. Amen. Listen, you had a debt that you could not pay. And one day somebody preached the gospel to you and let you know one day you're going to give an account before the God of heaven. And when the reckoning day comes, you're going to be cast into the lake of fire forever. And if you're saved, that means when you heard the gospel, you repented, you fell on your face before God, and you said, God, forgive me. And you trusted in Jesus Christ, and God forgave you all your debt. Isn't that awesome? Amen. I mean, you owed more than you could ever hope to pay. 10,000 times 10,000 times 10,000 sins we've committed, and God said, based on the fact that Christ paid for your sin, I forgive you all. You didn't have to work for it. You didn't have to earn it. You couldn't ever pay it. But he freely forgave you all because he paid it. Amen. Praise God. Amen. He forgave him all the debt. Verse 28 says, but the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence. So he owed this incredible sum, and he finds someone who owes him this tiny sum, and he laid his hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me that thou owest. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and beside him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry and came and told their Lord, unto their Lord all that was done. Then his Lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desiredst me. Shouldest not thou have also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses. I want you to understand the basis of this parable that Jesus gave. And it's really, really important. Jesus says, if you come to God and he forgives all your debt, you go out and somebody's offended you, but in comparison, what that person has done to you is nothing compared to how you've sinned against God. Amen. And you will not forgive them. There's something fundamentally wrong. As a matter of fact, it's so bad that the Lord takes that person and gives them to the tormentors to pay their own debt. You know what that means? That means that person's debt isn't fully forgiven. That person's debt is still there. I want you to understand this. If you are truly born again, you must forgive others. I listened to the testimony of a young lady who was tragically raped. And in her testimony, she talked about forgiving that man who had attacked her. It was just hard to watch. It was hard to listen to. It was hard to imagine. But I want you to listen to what she said. She said, how can I not forgive when God has forgiven me? Friends, that is an incredible testimony of forgiveness and love. She said, God didn't want him to do that to me. That wasn't God's will. But it happened, and how can I not forgive? Listen, it doesn't mean that you don't want justice to be done. Say amen. Forgiveness doesn't mean that we ignore justice. But what it means is something changes in our heart. When you study the history of the word forgive, it's an old English word that we have, but it traces its roots through a Germanic form. But I want you to get this. Where it comes from is at the very root of where the word forgive comes from. It means to give up desire or power to punish. What it really means down at the root is to give up the desire or the power to punish. When you are not forgiving someone, you want to get back at them. You want to punish them. You want to exact revenge on them. You want to hurt them the way that they hurt you. But when you forgive someone, you give that up. You give it up. You give it up. And for us as Christians, that means that when we forgive, we give it up. And what we do is give it to God. Not forgiving people is a terrible thing. It's a dangerous thing. And one of the sad things about it is the reality is when you hold unforgiveness in your heart, you're only hurting yourself. Amen. I've heard so many stories about people who have held on to that bitterness and that unforgiveness for not months, but years, decades even. And what's sad is so many times the person that they haven't forgiven oftentimes doesn't even know that they hurt the other person. And what I'm telling you is that we need to forgive. So be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. We need to be like Bobby and Johnny. We need to be good forgetters. We need to understand that not forgiving somebody else doesn't hurt anybody but ourselves. We need to get to the place where we understand this. Dale Carnegie was at Yellowstone one time, and he saw a grizzly bear. And the grizzly was in the middle of a clearing, and it was feeding on some camp food that somebody had left behind. And there was all these other animals around, but none of them would get close to the grizzly bear until all of a sudden a skunk trotted in the middle. And the skunk got in there and started eating right beside the grizzly bear. Now, the grizzly could have done something about that, but the grizzly understood something. It wasn't worth the trouble. It was going to cost him too much to get even. And when you hold unforgiveness in your heart and you're unwilling to forgive other people, it's going to cost you more than you realize. It's not worth the cost. So we've got to give up that desire or power to punish. I think most of you have been saved so long that you forget what it means to be forgiven. I think most of us have families that love each other, and even though we do stupid things against each other, most of the time, forgiveness comes pretty easy. Most of the time. There was a humanist named Margarita Lasky. She was a secular humanist, a novelist. And not long before she died, she was interviewed, and she said, "What I envy most about you Christians is your forgiveness. I have nobody to forgive me." Can you imagine what that would be like? Can you imagine what it would be like to come toward the end of your life and know that you're not forgiven? And you have no hope of forgiveness. You see, I can't imagine that. Because when I was 14 years old, I repented of my sin. I trusted in what Christ did for me on the cross, and he saved me. And he took away all my sin. And I stand here before him today, forgiven, justified, and free. And when I think of the sin that I've committed against my Heavenly Father, and how great a debt that I've been forgiven, how can I not forgive others? Yeah. I'm not trying to tell you that it's easy. I'm not trying to tell you today that it's just going to happen overnight. But I am telling you that if you are born again, and if you are growing in His grace and knowledge, that you will learn to forgive. So I have two questions for you this morning as we get ready for a verse of invitation. The first question is this: are you forgiven? You see, God doesn't just forgive for no reason. God, listen to me. You need to understand this. This is really, really important. I meet people all the time that say, I ask God to forgive me. I ask God to forgive me every night. God doesn't just forgive you because he's God. He forgives you for the sake of Jesus Christ. He forgives you because Jesus paid the debt. Our God doesn't just arbitrarily forgive people that say, God, please forgive me. He only forgives those who come to him in faith in Jesus Christ. Amen. Do you understand that? Do you understand how big that is, how important that is? Because there are millions of people around the world that ask God for forgiveness, but they don't have forgiveness because they haven't trusted in the finished work of Jesus Christ. If you're asking God to forgive you just on the merit that he's God, that doesn't work. He is a just judge. And the only way he forgives is for those who have faith in the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Are you forgiven? You say, oh, I've asked God to forgive me. But have you trusted in Christ alone to save you? If you are forgiven, praise God. If you're not, you can be forgiven today. You simply come to him in repentance and faith. My second question is, the first one is, are you forgiven? The second one is, are you forgiving others? Is there something that you hold in your heart against someone else? Some unforgiveness, some bitterness, some anger or animosity. You haven't given up that power or desire to punish them. You still hold that in. If you could get a hold of them today, you'd be like the man in the parable. If you could today, you'd grab them by the throat. Listen to me, friend. You've got to let that go. Vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. It's not your job to exact vengeance. It's not your job to grab them by the throat and punish them. If they're to be punished, God will do that. You see, faith and forgiveness go hand in hand. And if I trust God to deal with the injustices that are done against me, then I can clear them, I can forgive them, I can let go of that and trust that God will handle it. And he can handle it far better than we could ever dream to handle it. So trust him today. Are you forgiven? Are you forgiven? If you're not, you can be today. If you are forgiven, are you forgiving others? And if there is something that you're holding in your heart today, I beg you, come and leave it at the altar today. Even if you can't say, God, I forgive them, you could say, God, help me to forgive them. God, I can't do this, Lord. I can't do it. Please help me to forgive those that have sinned against me. As we stand together, we're going to sing.
Page 569.
The Holy Spirit's convicting your heart. You need to be saved. You need to be baptized. You need to get something right with you and the Lord. You come. You come right now while we sing.